What is it that motivates you or guides you? When you get up, for instance, tomorrow morning, ready for your day, what will your motivation be? What will guide you through your day at work, school, home, or wherever it is that you'll be tomorrow? What motivates you? What guides you? For some people, it's money. They want to earn as much as they can, build bigger and bigger bank accounts, acquire more and more wealth, and all the pleasures and power and possessions that go with them. For others, it's family. They live for the sake of parents, spouse, children. They want their family to be happy, healthy, and well provided for. Still other people are guided by and motivated by honor. And they want to have a good reputation, a good opinion. They want others to have a good opinion of them. They want to be successful and have a good social status, to be well respected by their friends and family and everyone else. The list of what motivates us in our daily lives could go on and on. I once read an article by a psychologist who proposed 16 core desires that can motivate a person. His list included some of those things that I mentioned already, and a few others that I didn't, some interesting ones like curiosity, vengeance, and romance. It's interesting to think about the things that motivate us in our lives. What desires will cause us to do the things that we do? And when we long for something, what will we do to try to accomplish it, to try to acquire that which we long for? As we think about this, both in our own lives and also as we read the scriptures, it might be helpful to understand the motivation of those who are acting in the gospel today. The story that we heard is a familiar one. We call it the account of the widow's mite, because the coins that she gave were probably a type of a coin called a mite. It was small, insignificant, an offering given by a poor, insignificant member of society, a widow who had nothing else to give, and yet who gave everything she had into the temple treasury. In contrast with the widow are the Pharisees and the rich. They do everything they can to be prominent, very significant members of society. They want to make sure that everyone sees just how significant that they are and just how significantly large their offerings can be. Jesus describes the scribes who teach the law in Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. Listen again to what he says. Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplace and have the best seats in the synagogue, the places of honor at the feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. You see, Jesus sees exactly what motivates each one of us. He sees directly into our hearts. He saw these teachers of the law. He saw what guided them. They like to look good. They like to see people, they like to have people see them walking around in their flowing robes. They like to be treated with respect, like they're important people. They want everyone to see how they get the seats of honor. They pray long prayers, loudly and publicly, so that everyone can hear how holy they are. And if in the process, a few insignificant widows get hurt, devoured, well, they're not really that important anyway, are they? Not compared to a scribe or a Pharisee. The same goes for the rich. In verse 41 of the text, it says that Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box, and many rich people put in large sums. Now, putting a large sum of money into the offering box is not by itself a problem, but Matthew's gospel adds another important detail. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them." The practice of giving had been corrupted. Like the Pharisees and their long flowing robes and their loud public prayers, the goal of giving was to be seen giving. Do you see? Do you see what I'm doing? How good I am? Do you see how generous I am? How rich I am? Everybody come. Come and look at me. Look at how I throw a lot of money into the offering box. So, at this point, it shouldn't be difficult to understand what motivates or guides the scribes and the Pharisees. What is it that actually causes them to pray and to give? The simplest term for it is pride. The Pharisees and the rich are motivated by pride. They want to show you that they're good, that they've done it, that they've earned their place in the house of the Lord. But then in the middle of that bragging and showing off, an insignificant woman walks into the temple courts to the offering box and drops in an insignificant gift, two small coins worth a penny. It's not hard to see a penny as insignificant today, is it? Can you imagine coming to the point where all you have is, I don't know, $10 in your wallet? You know that it's not enough for much of anything. It might buy you a meal at the grocery store, probably not at the local restaurant. It's just not enough. Doesn't that remind you of the other widow in today's reading, the widow of Zarephath, who also comes to the end of her resources? All she has is a little bit of flour, a handful, and a little bit of oil. It's not enough. Not enough for really much of anything. I can make one last meal for myself and my son, and that's it. And then it's over. That widow, like the widow in our gospel reading, was asked to give her last bit of flour, her last meal, to the servant of the Lord. Neither one of these widows gives a gift filled with pride. They don't want to be on display. In fact, quite possibly, they're ashamed about how little they really have. Remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees, that they are devouring the poor, devouring them, that is, guilting them into giving far beyond their means, shaming them into thinking that their gift is meaningless and insignificant compared to the gifts of the rich. In fact, by all rights, it's the widow who should be receiving alms, not giving away her last two coins. And yet nonetheless, like the widow of Zarephath, she gives. She gives everything she has. And Jesus honors that. Yes, it's a small, insignificant gift by any worldly standard, but she can give no more because her life is humble. It is all she has. So while the Pharisees and the rich are motivated by pride, here in the middle of that pride comes the widow whose life is humble. And notice that if the Pharisees, the rich, notice this woman at all, well, then undoubtedly they assume that they are better than she is because they have more than she has. That's terribly dehumanizing to think that way, but so many people do. You and I also are tempted to think this way, to value and esteem people on the basis of what they have. The rich and the famous must be more highly valued than the poor and the humble, right? But then Jesus explains to us what he sees, and it turns the value system of the world on its head. Truly, he says, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. They contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. See, the Pharisees and the rich, they think they know what significance is, but as he often does, Jesus disagrees. Jesus diminishes these prideful practices of the Pharisees and the rich. He says, in fact, that their gifts really aren't very significant. Large, yes. Significant, no. Because they give out of wealth. They don't really sacrifice anything. There is no faith, no humility, no gratefulness to God or acknowledging their need for his grace only pride and a desire for honor. Not only that, but they persistently ignore their responsibility to the poor, to the widow who comes in with two small coins and leaves with nothing. They give nothing. They do nothing for her. These practices are not good. Jesus says to them, you've already received your reward, not a reward from God, not your Father in heaven saying to you, well done, good and faithful servant, but instead, the reward is this. It comes from people who look at you and your riches, and they envy you. Well, that's an empty reward. Yet, in our hearts, don't we all like to show off a little bit, make other people envious, to prove that we really are something, that we don't need anything from anybody? And isn't that the very same pride speaking through us? Jesus, rather than being focused on the rich, the Pharisees, the scribes, Jesus focuses on this woman, this widow, who is forgotten by the Pharisees the moment after she leaves the temple courts, the woman who gives almost nothing, who is so insignificant in every way, and yet Jesus exalts her. He says that her gift is the largest, the most significant of all. He diminishes the prideful practices of the Pharisees, but exalts the humble widow, saying she gave everything. Because she gave in faith. She gave generously. She gave with humility. She gave knowing she had nothing. And knowing, most importantly, that anything she did have already was God's to start with. And so with her gift, she confesses the truth that the Pharisees miss entirely, that her life is entirely at the mercy of God. She is in his hands. The epistle of James echoes this, saying, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, this account of the widow's mite is a great story. It's always great when the scripture gives us these sharp contrasts, right? The good guys and the bad guys are really easy to identify. Pharisees bad, widow good. Pride bad, humility good. End of story, right? Only I can't help but thinking there's more than just drawing the lines between good and bad. Because whether we are like the Pharisees or like the widow, whether we are rich or poor, the truth is we're all the same. We are broken people living in a broken world. We are poor, miserable sinners who feel the weight of life in this world and the burden of our own failures on our shoulders each and every day. We are people who are trying to make sense of life in this world, trying to find a way to overcome it. The Pharisees and the rich think they have the answer. If I just get more stuff, more honor, more status, more wealth, more reputation, then I will have solved all my own problems. And I will be untouched by pain and sorrow and shame throughout my life. The only problem is, they're wrong. Because at the end of all these human pursuits, these prideful pursuits, what do we find? That even the rich are broken and powerless. They still are sinners, like you and like me. And the wages of sin is death. Then there is the widow who is humble. And she's not humble because she wants to be. She's humble because she has lost everything in her life. She is a widow. You know what that means. Her husband has died. She is alone. And we can see she is poor. She is broken. She is powerless. And unlike the Pharisees and the rich, there's no way she can pretend otherwise. She cannot show off to anyone. And so she comes honestly. She comes essentially empty-handed before God. And what she does have, she gives into his hands her last two coins because she trusts him. She trusts that God will provide for her because she certainly cannot do it on her own. You see, the widow's life reveals the truth that the Pharisees try to ignore, that whether we are rich or poor, whether we are highly esteemed and honored or completely ignored by others, whether we have power in this world or we are completely powerless, either way, when we come before God, we are the same. When we come before him, we come as sinners who have nothing of great value to offer him. And if we pretend that that's not true, if we pretend that we are strong enough and important enough, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Not only that, we make a mockery out of Christ, who gave his life for us. But if we come as we are, honest, humble, seeking his mercy, then what is it that we find? Well, we find the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is for you and for me. We find that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. We find the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. We find his love and his faithfulness. We find that by faith, he exalts us. And so today, I ask the question again, what is it that guides you through your life? I pray that it is not the worldly things, selfish ambition, pride. I pray instead that you, dear children of God, are guided by our Lord Jesus and his cross. And I urge you to come before him today and every day, simply telling the truth. No pretending. No trying to earn his favor or showing off. No hiding behind what things you have in this life, what accomplishments you've achieved. No pride, but instead humility. Come and entrust yourself entirely into his merciful hands. And as you are guided through this life by faith in Jesus, as you're guided by him through a life which is sometimes filled with joy, but also a whole lot of struggle and trial, you will find his love, his life, and his salvation for you. For Christ died and he rose for you. He gave everything for you who had nothing, so that you would be his forever. And now everything you have and everything that you are his. And it is only he who is able to guide you to live a faith-filled and generous life by his holy word and sacraments, as he leads you through this life of sorrow and on into the life of his kingdom, which has no end. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and guide your hearts and your minds in this one true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.